It's the Adam Gold Show. Pleasant Tuesday morning to you. It is Tuesday, right?
Yes.
All right, good. It means the Hurricanes play tomorrow night.
Nice.
That's exciting. Absolutely exciting. We're going to talk to Brett Pesce later on. We'll find out if he's excited about tomorrow night.
I'm sure.
Brett is so low-key about everything. Brett will go, yeah, of course.
Right.
That's what
I'm
basically
struck with enthusiasm, can't you tell?
We'll goof around with Brett Pesce. We'll see if he has a Yankee Guardians pick tonight.
Ah.
So, anyway, we got a lot of stuff to do. I'm Adam Gold. V to the Victoria is here. I've been shorting her an underscore in her Twitter Twitter handle now for about 2 months.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's at V underscore two underscore the underscore Victoria. There should be a limit to how many underscores you can
there
have.
There should be. I like to push it.
Yes, you do. There's no question about that. So yes, Halloween is coming up soon, coming up fast. Halloween on a Monday can't be good.
I know.
Are they going to make the kids trick or treat? Like, my son is too old to trick or treat now. We don't live in a neighborhood, so I mean, he could trick or treat to us.
Right.
We have not had anybody come to our door because, again, there are no homes near where we are. So, but are they going to make the kids trick-or-treat on a Sunday?
That's a great question. I know back in the day, yeah, I'm going to sound that way. Back in the day,
wow.
It didn't matter what day of the week it was. It didn't matter if it was raining. You were walking those blocks. You better put that plastic mask on your face and knock on those doors if you want that little Snickers.
I liked when Jack was young, we used to put him in a little wagon and wheel the wagon around, and you know, we'd stop and he'd trundle out and he'd walk up to a house and then we'd put him back in the wagon, and the wagon also held, you know, beverages.
Right.
Because, I mean, we ain't doing that without beverages.
Nope.
Because that's what we do.
Multi-purpose.
As parents. But I hope everybody's prepared. We have to get the witches and cats out, and a little cauldron, and we have some cobwebs that we're going to stuff on the hedges.
Hey, well, I know someone who's got some spare time now. Yeah, I did it.
Wow.
Sorry, Matt Rhule. Not really, though.
did you polish off the whole bottle of wine last night, or is it champagne?
I should have.
Sparkling wine?
I should have. No, I'm saving it for this weekend.
All right.
I got to be fresh.
After they beat... Who are they playing? Oof. The Rams.
No after, one. After they beat no one.
Go and beat the Rams. The Rams are beatable right now. Ugh. All right, let's talk stuff. They're off. So I didn't know this yesterday. The Panthers didn't only fire Matt Rhule.
Nope.
They asked defensive coordinator Phil Snow for his playbook, too. Okay, that's fine. It is interesting because the defense has been the one kind of shining light. But yeah. I would argue that I don't think they're so awesome that you can't do stuff on them. Of course, they're on the field all day. So it's hard to say that Phil Snow is the problem. But they have good personnel. They've had to battle some injuries. We know Jeremy Chin's out for a while. They just had some have some other things that they're dealing with. But... for the most part, the defense has been good, but I did not see that yesterday. My apologies. You know what Panthers fans want to see more than anything? A plan.
Yes.
And this is what you get when you are making a coaching change midstream. There's no plan. Steve Wilks isn't a plan. I mean, it would be great if they did well enough under Steve Wilks to forget about making him a candidate. I hope he's a candidate either way, because he's a solid individual. He's a good football coach. And if he can demonstrate leadership qualities, then he can be a good head coach. We don't know. But he was a good defensive coordinator before going out to be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. That was, of course, at a time where everybody who coached the defense here ended up as a head coach somewhere else, it seemed. Right? Greg McDermott, boom. Sean McDermott. Greg McDermott's a basketball coach. Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Steve Wilks in Arizona. Wilks, of course, didn't get year two because they were salivating over Cliff Kingsbury. Seems like a sound decision now, doesn't it? Oh, man, Arizona's just no good. Kingsbury's already admittedly like, yeah, we got to get better. No kidding. You really do. Anyway, we'll get back. Oh, we're going to hear some David Tepper sound here in a minute. My own opinion is, relative to other potential NFL openings, it's not really an attractive job for a number of reasons. Yeah, there's defense there. But ultimately, there's too much rebuilding that still needs to take place. And you're stuck in a point in time where you're the good parts of your defense, by the time your offense catches up, might be too old. So, and honestly, what does Christian McCaffrey have left? Maybe he has 5 years left. We really don't know.
Maybe.
It would be awesome if he did, in which case, you hang on to him. But I know there are a lot of people, and I don't disagree with it, who think that stripping it down for parts is probably a good idea, and build as much draft capital as you can, but we will see what they do. We'll get back to sound about, we'll hear from David Tepper and Mike Tannenbaum, who again has ruined two franchises in the AFC East, and we'll see if he has suggestions to ruin the Panthers. Is video review coming to the rescue for roughing the passer penalties? Well, there's an oxymoronic statement right there, because video review doesn't rescue anything. This is my opinion. I'm editorializing that. Chris Jones of the Chiefs last night, Grady Jarrett of the Falcons Sunday, each got hosed out of great defensive plays by utterly ridiculous roughing the passer penalties. In the case of Jarrett, it absolutely cost the Falcons a chance to win. Doesn't mean they were going to win. It was 21-15 at the time, and the possession allowed the Buccaneers to pick up a first down and run out the clock. If that penalty is not called, and it should not have been, then the Falcons get the ball back. And again, you still have to go score the touchdown, and the Buccaneers have a really good defense, so chances are, probably not, but they had a chance. And that was a terrible roughing the passer call. Unless all tackles like that are roughing the passer. And we watched Thursday night as Tua Tagovailoa, two Thursday nights ago, got tackled in exactly the same way. No difference.
Nope.
And actually, I would say that Tua's was way harsher than Brady's. Brady was like gently, like almost cuddled to the ground.
Ridiculous.
And so it's just awful. They called that penalty on Grady Jarrett. Anyway, the Jones penalty was, I mean, he tackled the quarterback. Like, I watched it 20 times. I don't even know what else he was supposed to do.
No.
Unless he should have said, hey, Derek, will you please take a knee?
Yeah.
So I don't get a penalty. There's just nothing he could have done differently.
Not at all.
And he got a penalty. Here's Andy Reid, Chiefs head coach, on Jones roughing the passer call.
I thought he had the ball. So I mean, that's what I thought. But
he did.
That's their job. So they do that.
Obviously, you don't want that play to go that way, but it also seemed like it maybe lit a little bit of a fire under you particularly, but under the team. Did you see it that way in hindsight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's an emotional game. So what I thought wasn't right. So, but it is what it is.
Well, that was insightful. Here's the thing. Chris Jones did have the ball.
Yeah.
He took the ball from Derek Carr. So it should have been a Chiefs fumble recovery.
That's the whole point of the game. So, it's physical.
Although it's a live penalty, so it would have negated it anyway. But it shouldn't have been a penalty. Chiefs should have had the ball. By the way, the NFL is considering using replay to help decide whether or not we have roughing the passer penalties or not, which you might remember this better than I do, Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
In the week one loss to Cleveland, was not the final drive by the Browns aided by a completely phantom Brian Burns roughing the passer penalty,
yes.
Right? It was like a blow to the head, which never happened.
Right.
So had replay been in place for this, would have likely eliminated that penalty.
Sure.
And maybe the Panthers win that game. And maybe right now they're 5-0 because that's where we were headed.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Right.
But it was interesting is that I think it was Arthur Smith of the Falcons said people are going to lose their jobs over these roughing the passer calls because they can impact games. That might have been autobiographical there for Arthur Smith because he might. But that goes for all calls.
Yeah.
We have too much replay as it is. My feeling is that what's going to happen with roughing the passer penalties is the same thing that happens with every other instance where we use instant replay, is that replay was always about getting the obvious mistakes wrong. It was not about using this to be a Zapruder film. And what we have now is we slow it down to the millionths of a second, and we should not be doing that. We should just be look at it at real speed and move on. If we can't tell at real speed, then all right, sorry, close enough.
Yeah,
let's just keep it moving. But that's not what they do. I've been impressed though. Major League Baseball's replay for the playoffs has been very quick. At least the ones I've seen has been very fast, and that's the way it's got to be. If we're going to have it, we need to be boom. All right, we looked at it. Nope, sorry, nothing there. Let's keep it moving.
Yeah.
That's what we need. But
not 10 minutes go by.
Gosh, just terrible. And college football is the worst. We review everything in college football. We don't need to review whether or not it's roughing the passer. So the Chiefs are 4-1. The Raiders are 1-4. That's good. Las Vegas had chances last night. They score a touchdown to make it 30-29 with about 4.5 minutes left. And they went for two to try to take the lead. Not win the game. It's a complete misnomer to say that they were trying to win the game there, because last I checked, 4.5 minutes or whatever it was, more than enough time for Patrick Mahomes. Heck, he only needs about 13 seconds.
13.
So here's Josh McDaniel, the head coach, or McDaniels, whatever his name is. We have a Mike McDaniel in Miami,
mm-hmm.
and a Josh McDaniels.
Yes.
I wish they would just pick one. In Las Vegas, here's Josh on going for two.
I felt like in that situation, we hadn't really, they had kind of had a lot of momentum offensively, obviously, in the second half. And we had a play that we felt really good about. Thought we would get a look that gave us a shot at it, for sure. We had a chance. We had a fair fight at it. They played a little bit better than we did and gave ourselves an opportunity to take the lead there. And then maybe put a little extra pressure on them when they had the ball. Nothing more, nothing less. Just trying to be aggressive, trying to win a game. And I know it was 4.5 or whatever the time was, but our team felt good about it. Felt like that was the right call at the right time.
All right. First of all, I think Josh is also going to be calling out the bus schedule later on.
Yeah.
Or he's working at the drive-thru.
At an aquarium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell. I have an idea of what Josh was talking about. We're going to ask this of John Breach coming up in about 15 minutes. I get the feeling that Josh McDaniels is constantly trying to impress his dad with how smart he is. 4.5 minutes left. All right. Yeah, whatever. I mean, honestly, you have just as good a chance of taking a 1-point lead as you do of falling short. And obviously the latter happened, and so they were a point down, and that's how it ended. But with that much time left, tie the game.
Yeah.
Just tie the game. And if Kansas City doesn't move the ball, which I guess is probably a long shot, although that's what did happen. If Kansas City doesn't move the ball, you get it back and you have a chance to win. Now, if there's a minute left, I like it. If there's a minute left, I like it. If there's 4.5 minutes left, I think you're overthinking things. All right, so the last drive, they actually get the ball back, and they went for it again on like fourth and short, fourth and one, or whatever it was, from near midfield. They were on the minus side, but they were just so, like the 46 or something. And they ended up throwing it down the field. They had no timeouts left. And I guess the pass was intended for Devontae Adams. And then after the game, Devontae Adams is walking off the field, and he shoves what looked like a camera guy. So here's Devontae Adams on the play and the shove.
I don't know. It was I had a little collision with Hunter on the left side. I didn't see anything after I released and got back vertical. We ended up running into each other, so that's all that I saw. I don't even know where the ball went or nothing. It's on the ground, so I didn't see that. And before I answer anything else, I want to apologize to the guy. Some guy running off the field, and he ran. I jumped in front of me. We coming off the field, and I bumped into him and kind of pushed him, and then he ended up on the ground. So I want to say sorry to him for that, because that was just frustration mixed with him running and literally just running in front of me. And that was, shouldn't have responded that way, but that's how I initially responded. So I want to apologize to him for that.
I watched the video. Devontae Adams' portrayal of what happened with the camera guy after the game is 100% accurate. Why is this a story on ESPN.com? I'm like, the guy just kind of comes out of nowhere, flashes in front of him. Devontae Adams thinks he's some sort of a fan coming at him, so he just shoves him out of the way. Nobody got hurt. So why are we doing this? But also the pass, yes, he and Hunter Renfrow collided in the middle of the field. It was poor play design, poor route running. I don't know. But there's a reason you're 1-4. I'll just point that out. They should be 2-3, of course. They lost a game that they led by like 17 points at Arizona this year in the fourth quarter. Completely fell apart and were broken by Kyler Murray on that 2-point conversion. Still the best player of the entire year by Arizona. All right, real quick, couple of quick things before we get back and listen to David Tepper. Major League Baseball playoffs start today. Braves, Phillies first, I think 1 o'clock on Fox. Max Fried for Atlanta. Rangers, Suarez for the Phillies. Mariners and Astros next on TBS. Logan Gilbert and Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander is 39 years old. And he had, I don't know if it was his best season ever, but it's on the short list of best Justin Verlander seasons. Absolutely incredible. 174 ERA or something like that. He is lights out at home as well. Man, that guy is just amazing. Yankees host the Guardians. Gerrit Cole and Cal Quantrill in that matchup. Cole has been absolutely mediocre for the Yankees. Part of the reason why they struggled in the second half. He's got to pitch well. But the most important thing for all of these pitchers is that they simply give them innings. Give your team innings. Get your team to the seventh inning, right? Just do that. Get your team to the seventh with a chance. Nightcap in L.A., Dodgers host the Padres, Julio Urias and Mike Clevenger in that one. You know what else starts tonight? You do? The National Hockey League starts tonight.
Yes, it does.
We got two games, each on ESPN. Tampa visits the Rangers. We'll have the New York debut of Vincent Trocheck in that one. Kings and the Golden Knights in Vegas. ESPN picks the Hurricanes to make it to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I don't hate that.
No, I hope that happens. I hope that's not the kiss of death. I have to figure out who they picked last year. I think they picked Tampa to make it to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, which was true.
An easy pick, yeah.
So maybe that'll work. Canes announced roster moves yesterday. Fans are a little bent because the team sent Jordan Martinook to the minors. Only they didn't. They sent Jordan Martinook's contract to essentially page two of capfriendly.com. All they did. These are just paper moves designed to create cap space. Here's a promise. We'll just call him A48 as an alternate captain. Jordan Martinook will be on the left side of the fourth line, whoever the center is. I don't think it will be Jack Drury in the opener. I believe they will sign Derek Stepan later today or early tomorrow. And he will, this is my guess, he will be in the starting lineup tomorrow night when the Hurricanes take on the Blue Jackets. But Martinook, Stepan, and I'm thinking Andre Kasha will be the fourth line, left to right. And I believe they'll keep one extra forward. That'll be Stefan Nason. And they will keep two extra defensemen for now. And when you get right down to it, I do think they're going to try and move Ethan Bear. But maybe not. We'll see. All right, let me get back to David Tepper here. So David Tepper is the owner, and he was available to the media. And let's see why he thinks the decision was made, why he decided to fire Rhule yesterday and not earlier.
Look, there's numerous reasons why you make a decision like that. Ultimately, I felt this was a time.
Okay. I would have liked to have seen, heard more forthcoming from Tepper with that decision. Because it's a valid reason to say, because I like Matt and he didn't deserve what was coming his way. That would be okay for me. Make it a mercy firing. Because that's what I think most people recognize this, like, yeah, for Matt's own good. It wasn't working out. He wasn't going to get year four. So let's move on.
Tepper likes to not say things.
No,
like he likes to say and not say things.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, now he said, I don't know how many times he said getting over the hump. But here's what that means to David Tepper.
Winning more this year than you did last year. Have the appearance of winning more than you did last year. Looking like you're going to win more than you did last year. You know, by that definition, you know, I don't think we're over the hump. We started off 1-4 this year. We, you know, had 5 wins the last 2 seasons. We, you know, had a different lack of success in other seasons. So we have to somehow change that culture, see how we can change that culture and try to win. And whatever that takes, we're going to try to find that.
Then you should have fired him.
Long time ago.
Before this year, but that's another story. Anyway, David Tepper, being patient with building out the roster.
You know, I think that as an organization, we have to maintain patience in roster building and different positions. And just a little bit more patience would be good, and remembering all the time that we are in a limited resource business. We have the same amount of money to spend as the next team. Nobody has more, nobody has left. We have the same amount of draft picks as the next team. Nobody has more, nobody has less. We have to make sure we use that as, you know, as best we can, and really, really consider that and strategically think about it.
Okay, that's not really true.
Mm-mm.
It just isn't true.
No.
Teams, there are certain teams who are better equipped to spend money because you can front load a lot of contracts with signing bonuses that give you better opportunities to get players. So with that, so I think David Tepper is, I mean, he's not being completely, whether he's not being completely truthful there or I don't know how to characterize it. I don't think he's standing up there lying to everybody, but it's just not true. You can be more creative, and if you have the wherewithal, you can spend money. They call it putting stuff on a credit card. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when they won the Stanley Cup, my gosh, when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they brought back the whole team knowing that in about 2 years, the bill was coming due. And they would ultimately be in salary cap hell because they essentially decided we're going to run it back with this group and we're going to pay these guys a lot of bonus money, stick dummy years onto the contract. That's just salary cap shenanigans. And so not every team has the ability to do that. So the Panthers just haven't necessarily done that just yet. And finally, the franchise quarterback conundrum for David Tepper. Let's hear
Listen,
it.
Listen, we will find, and we may have that person right now, but I believe we will have that person eventually.
What?
Yes. I don't... May, I know it's going to sound weird. It's going to sound stupid. It is possible that the franchise quarterback is on the roster. It is possible that the quarterback is named Baker Mayfield. Maybe the quarterback is Matt Corral. I don't know. It's probably not Sam Darnold. But quarterback has been a problem for them. And it's not because necessarily of the quarterback. I think it's been a problem because of the coaching. And just the way that their offense is just utterly dysfunctional. So we'll see.